Please let the practice managers manage. They're not administrators, they're practice managers. Let them manage.
Welcome to the Veterinary Leadership Success Podcast, the show for veterinary practice owners and managers who are eager to become the leaders their teams deserve. I'm your host, veterinarian and leadership expert, Dr. Dave Nicol, and each week I'll be diving into important topics from the world of veterinary team leadership. In these short, sharp, and punchy episodes, I'll share my insights, experiences, and practical tips to help you navigate the challenges of leadership in the veterinary profession. Whether it's head in the clouds vision casting or in the trenches leading for performance, we will cover it all. As an owner myself, I understand the unique dynamics and demands of running a successful veterinary practice, and I'm passionate about empowering you to create a workplace where people and pets can thrive. So if you're ready for your weekly leadership fix, let's dive in to this week's show. Welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Leadership Success Show. We're sat here at the BSAVA Expo Hall 2025 in Manchester. And I'm joined by, she's got many titles, but I like to know her as my veterinary professional mum. That is the lovely Rita Dingwall, who is the chair of the Federation of Independent Veterinary Practices, chartered practice manager, and yeah, probably one of the OGs of veterinary practice management, and not been on the show before, which I think is a bit remiss. So welcome to the show, Rita.
Thank you, Dave. I would like to say it's great to be here, but I'd be lying, but I am going to enjoy this afternoon.
Once we're done.
31 years kicking around the industry, making a lot of friends, including surrogate sons like the one I'm speaking to today, and just making friends for life and learning all the time.
It really is one of the wonderful things about our profession. So, Rita, on the Leadership Success Show, I'm curious, and I wondered if you would share your insights, and I'm particularly thinking about your people coming to leadership. I'm thinking back to my early leadership journey and how little I knew. I remember calling my biological mum and going, what the hell is this leadership thing about? And so I'm wondering, like, if you could look back in time, what are the lessons that you wish you had been told or taught back then, or the things that you've found to be important now for new leaders?
For new leaders, I think you need to find your tribe and your support network. Find the people that you can work with, that you can learn from, and you can share your experiences. That for me has been invaluable. And I would also say learn from your mistakes.
Which will be plenty. So what are the key skills? Like, I feel like leadership has a, you know, we have this preconceived idea of what it is, and frequently it's not that once you start doing it. What was your early experience in leadership, and how have your thoughts on leadership evolved as the years have gone on? Must be a lot of change over those three decades.
Very much so. My first position, and I will share this with everyone, is that I was asked by my own vets to come in to the practice. I was there 20 minutes. I was supposed to be applying for a job. There was no conversation, there wasn't a job description. Well, there was plenty of conversation, but nothing about the job that I was applying for. And that was under duress because I actually didn't want the job, but they insisted I came in. We spoke for 20 minutes. I said, what was the job about? They replied, just come and organise us. And 30 odd years later, I'm still in touch with them. And they're still using some of the processes that I put in place for them. I.e., if things weren't used out of their cars, they were put in a black plastic bag. And if that wasn't opened in 6 months, it got thrown away.
That sounds like what I need to do in my bedroom, Rita, which is, you're just applying all of your life skills to that. Yeah. But what a great job description of sorts. I mean, they set you just a clear objective, or just organize us, which sounds like the value that every practice manager brings to a practice. I have a curious thought. When is the right time to bring in your first practice manager as a practice?
That's a really good question. When you feel that you're not enjoying the business management side and that you really want to work more on the clinical side, then is the time, I believe, that the practice manager and you can work as a team together where you still have the control, but they actually implement things. And that's what I've always felt.
Yeah, just get things done and extend it. And people are sometimes resistant to the thought of getting a practice manager because there's obviously a financial outlay in doing so. And it's hard sometimes, if you're going to buy an ultrasound machine, you go to the stand over there that's selling ultrasound,
And actually, I'm distracted because they look really good, those ultrasound, and I'm a dork for that. But they will show you, okay, here's the return on investment, here's how many scans you need to do, here's how you price it. It's not quite as easy with an investment in a human being that's not a revenue-generating member of the team. So what would you say to practice owners who are at that stage where they're overwhelmed, they're not enjoying those other things? What is the financial argument that supports the hiring or the onboarding of a practice manager?
Just to give you an example, one of the large practices that I work for, we didn't use a buying group. I was the negotiator. And as a result of the negotiation, I paid for my salary twice over by negotiating with the drug companies. It's probably moved on a bit since then, there are lots of drug buying groups around and who can do that. But even with the purchase of equipment, as long as the clinician decides what is the best clinical equipment that they require, why not let the practice manager negotiate, not wasting valuable time, and coming back and reporting to, as they should do, to the business owner, and again, working in that team. Everybody has a role in that team to bring home good things for the practice.
It's 6 a.m. The alarm's screaming. You're out of coffee. Head's pounding. Car horn start. And in 2 hours, you've got to walk to the clinic and somehow be the inspirational leader your team needs. Yeah. Good luck with that. Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Nicol, and here's the truth. If you're exhausted, overwhelmed, and constantly running on fumes, you cannot lead your practice effectively. That's why in Strategic Leaders, we start with you. You'll learn how to take control of your time instead of drowning in it. Understand your leadership style, your strengths, your blind spots, warts and all. Build resilience so you don't crack under pressure and lead with confidence, care and presence, even when mornings feel like a disaster movie. Because when you show up better, your team shows up better. And that's how remarkable practices are built. So if you're ready to stop running on empty and start leading with clarity and energy, head to drdavenicol.com/strategic-leaders. Veterinary Leadership Academy. Build your remarkable practice, starting with you.
Is there a list in your mind of low-hanging fruit? Like, let's imagine I'm starting out in my practice again and I know nothing. What are the big three? What are the objectives that you would typically say, these are the low-hanging fruit to get to a practice manager immediately?
Very good question. I'm going to think about that one a little bit. I mean, you need to build the business and get the numbers coming through the door to generate sufficient income.
So that sounds like marketing is kind of high on that list.
Very much so, very much marketing. And once you have people coming through the door, then that needs to continue. And not only marketing to get clients in, but actually to the retention of clients, which it's not just a question of numbers through the door, it's retaining those clients and looking after them properly.
All right, so organizing the chaos to an extent of whether that's equipment that they're not using or negotiating with suppliers to get better deals, notwithstanding, yes, there are now group purchasing organizations left, right, and center, but you still get tiers of deals within those, which practice managers can help with. Marketing, what other functions are on that list?
I think role clarity for the team, that everybody knows what everybody is doing and how they all contribute to the team. And I would look very much on the team side of things, which I think a busy clinician who's looking after the clients and the patients may not always have the time for. And I believe that looking after the team is absolutely, if you haven't got a good team behind you, you haven't really got a practice.
Yeah, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not just operationally organizing things, but that's actually doing some of the HR side of it as well. I'm thinking now of how many people in veterinary practices don't even get a dreaded annual review. And maybe that's not a bad thing, but there's something better that they should be getting done there. Okay, so if you are, and this is turning into a pitch for practice managers, which I think every practice should be considering, but handing over. So operations, organizing the way the flow of the day, the equipment, what's used, ordering, marketing to get more clients coming in the door, negotiating, wherever negotiations occur, and there's more than just suppliers, and then the HR side of it. Well, there's four big areas right on its own.
Yeah.
That are going to pay you dividends.
Absolutely. And just to develop that a little further, obviously we have the leadership and mentoring. We also have health and well-being, which we've talked about as in looking after the team. The culture of the practice can be so, it depends on recruiting the right people to make sure that that makes the team, the culture as it should be, and learning and development and training. You cannot emphasize sufficiently about CPD and training. And on these training programs, you meet other people who share again, and it's all about sharing knowledge.
Yeah, and connection in those moments as well, isn't there? All right. Well, I was convinced anyway, but I hope if you're listening to this and you're sitting on the fence somehow about whether a practice manager can add value, Rita just dropped in, like, I counted another three areas on top of four areas. So you've got seven areas that you can attach some value add to that is either stuff you're not doing, stuff you're doing badly. If you're not doing it, then you're missing out on growth. If you're doing it badly, you're potentially missing out on retention. Practice managers are no brainer, I think, as early as you can afford it. Is there a magic number of full-time equivalent vets that exist that say you can't afford it?
No, I wouldn't think so. I would think perhaps 3 to 4, round about there, I would think, would be pitching it.
Yeah. As a managing vet, you start getting overwhelmed by, if you've got three vets with you, they're coming to you for a lot of questions. There's so much more admin, so much more HR on your plate. Yeah, I was thinking 2 or 3. They're certainly up to about 3, so.
Yeah. And I would put a request in, please let them manage.
Tell me more what that means.
Please let the practice managers manage. They're not administrators, they're practice managers. Let them manage.
Can you just get 2 minutes on what you mean by that?
Yes, I do. Sometimes people have the job title of practice manager, and that's not what they are. They are very often administrators, great administrators, no disrespect, but practice managers, you know, if they've got a qualification that they've worked hard for, that's what they want to be. Let them manage, don't micromanage them, trust them, but make sure that they report into you and that you work as a team. And it's so important. Some frustrations from practice managers are that they're not allowed to manage.
Excellent point. There is no more powerful axis, I believe, in a practice than a well-aligned in terms of skill, in terms of values, in terms of the objective, the mission of the practice. Like a practice manager, I couldn't do it without Mike. And I encourage you, if you don't have one, if you don't have one that it's not working with, then that needs to be fixed. And that might be job one. Rita, thank you so much for giving your insight and time.
Thanks, son.
You're welcome, Mum. And if you are in the UK and you're not a member of the Federation of Independent Vet Practices, then definitely go check it out. Website to go do that is Rita?
Yeah, www.fivp.org.
There you go. You passed the test as the chair. You can remember your own web URL. And brilliant. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
So that wraps up today's episode of the Veterinary Leadership Success Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, it would be most appreciated if you would leave a review on iTunes and tell your friends in veterinary medicine all about us. Until next time, from all of us here, be safe, be well, and be happy.